I'm excited because Jesus is still King. Jesus is still Lord. And whether you feel it or not, He's here right now. His Spirit is here. His Holy Spirit. The angels of God are around about us. That's all in the Word. You need to look at it and find out that God's Spirit is present and His angels are around about us. Life has a way of throwing some real hard punches at us. Has anybody ever experienced a hard punch? Sometimes it's a left hook of disappointment. Sometimes it's an uppercut of pressure. Sometimes it's a right cross of betrayal. And then there's the sucker punch of failure. Think about that for a moment. We all face those punches in life. But here's the news. But we're still here. You're still standing on this Father's Day. Say it with me, I'm still standing. What does that mean? Standing, this is key. Standing is not just survival. It's a testimony. When you stand, it's a testimony. What does that mean? I stood the test and I'm still here. I'm still standing and I'm going to tell the world about it. East-West Church, we're still here. It doesn't matter if we're here down the block or around across town. We're still here. You can't take away who we are. You can't take away our identity because our identity is in Jesus Christ. I want to take you to some scriptures that really anchor this message. In Ephesians 6:13, the Bible says, a verse we should all know, therefore put on the full armor of God, that when the day of evil comes, reading from the New International Version, so when the evil day comes, you may be able to stand your ground. When the evil day comes, you can still stand your ground. And after you have done everything, you've done it all, seen it all, been there, got the T-shirt, the Bible says to stand. The next verse says, stand therefore. Keep on standing. You've done it all. You've seen it all. You've been through the fire. You've been through the test. Keep standing therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts, the arrows of the wicked, of the enemy. So with God's help, with God's Spirit, we are still standing. Nobody can take that away from you. We're still standing. But in this we need, you need, I need, you need the strength to be able to stand. You need that strength. When do I need it? When you're weary, when you're wore out, when you're tired, when you're disappointed, you're going to need to stand. That's the tough time. Anybody can stand when everything's going great, when everybody's rejoicing, everybody's praising, everybody's happy, plenty of money in the bank, all your bills are paid. Yeah, I can stand. But what happens when that all turns around? It gets very difficult. So even when you're weary, we need that strength to be able to go forward and stand. You see, life doesn't stop just because it's Father's Day or Mother's Day or Christmas or Easter. Life doesn't stop. It keeps going on. And today in this complex world, how many people know we have a complex world? And in this complex world we live in, many feel like they're holding up, whether it be a man or a woman, husband or a wife. Many feel like they're holding up families, holding up dreams, holding up burdens, and they've gotten tired. They've held so long, held on, and kept holding on till now they're getting tired. But you need to hear me. The enemy wants you to think. Who's the enemy? Help me. Satan, the devil. The enemy wants you to think standing is failing. That just because you're standing now, you may not be going forward or backward, you're just standing, that standing is failing. But standing, as far as the Scripture is concerned, standing is fighting. Say that back to me. Standing is fighting. Say it again. So when you stand, you're fighting the good fight of faith. When you've done all to stand, what did he say? Stand. When you've given your all your energy, you've given everything that you have, you still stand because you know the Lord Jesus Christ is standing beside you. The Bible says, in reference to being weak or being tired or being weary, Isaiah 40:29 says, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. That's what the Bible says. Our God is there to support. God is our rear guard. I wrote this morning. God is our rear guard. He's behind me. He's watching over me. He's guiding me in the way that I should go. How many people want God to be their rear guard? We need Him. The problem is we get so excited about everything going on in our life, we forget God. And I speak that to the ether today. We forget God because we've gotten all our prayers answered. We got the big job. We got the big increase. We got the family we want. And now we don't want, it's not so much we're turning God away. It's just we don't have need of Him right now. Because we don't need Him until we get into trouble again. How many people know that's the way most people think? When they get in trouble, that's when they want God. But God is God is your rear guard. He's our undergirding strength. I was going to ask some builders in the house. I'll ask Randy, do you understand what undergirding means? What does it mean, Randy? That's right. He comes up underneath us. I'm not able to take the weight. He becomes that undergirding power that keeps me from sinking, keeps me from failing, keeps me from falling. And so you may not see Him, but those girders of the Spirit are holding you up. It's that undergirding power that gives me strength, that gives me life, that gives me joy, that gives me peace, that gives me foresight, that makes me excited about my destiny. You say, well, Bishop, you know, we're doing so many things and you're going to the Hilton there at the Area Conference Center. What do you think? You think anybody will come? Whether they come or not, I'm going to be there. And I told Brother Randy today, anybody that comes, I want them to come because they have a passion for the Word of God. That's what I want, not a passion to socialize, although that happens. Fellowship, I know that happens. But you don't have, it's not just a passion that we're coming for a dinner on the grounds or to be seen. I want you to have a passion for the Word of God because it's only through the Word of God that you'll be able to stand. And the evil day could come. We don't know what's going to happen on tomorrow. We don't know what will happen. Who has their finger on the buttons right now that could cause this world to go into complete chaos? The only way I'll be able to stand in the evil day is through the Word of God. You see, let me give you a little encouragement in all this because I know we're tired. Has anybody been tired of helping other people? I mean, think about it for a second. You work hard and it seems like they don't reciprocate. I've helped a lot of people, and was there any reciprocation? No. Very little. I can't remember much. Because what they do, they're real quick to say, thank you, and that's it. It's over with. Because, Bishop, that's your job to do that. No, my job is to do one thing, preach and teach the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Preach and teach the gospel of the kingdom. That's what causes me to stand. That's what makes me, Ricky, want to get up in the morning. It's not the car I drive or the house I live in or even the friends that I have. Or a friend, I don't have many. I think Mike may be my only friend, I don't know. But what makes me want to get up in the morning is the gospel of the kingdom now. When I was a young man, I didn't think about those things. I thought I could do it all. I thought, man, it didn't matter because I could make it happen. Now I realize I need Jesus more than ever before. I need His Spirit. I need His presence. And I found myself talking to Him more now than I've ever talked to Him before. Because He's with me. I don't care if I'm in a grocery store, if I'm driving my car. Doesn't matter if I'm on an airplane, especially on an airplane, I can tell you that. I'm talking to Jesus. Thanking Him. Let me give you a little encouragement. God doesn't shame your exhaustion. Just because you're exhausted, He doesn't shame your exhaustion. As a matter of fact, He strengthens you in the midst of it all. That's when He strengthens you. You don't need undergirding power if you have no weight on you. The only reason you need undergirding power is because you're carrying a great weight. Think about this for a second. I know many of you remember Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, when he fought George Foreman. You remember that? And everybody thought he was getting beat. I always had confidence in his ability. And he looked like he was getting beat, but he was never knocked out. He'd go into his corner and lean on his corner like this, and he coined the thing rope-a-dope. What was he doing? He was garnering all his strength. He was resting while George was wearing himself out. And all of a sudden, in those closing moments, he proved to the world he was not finished. He was just refueling. And he knocked Big George down, the first man to ever do it. So today, you may be in the ropes or on the ropes. Don't give up hope on the rope. Do a little rope-a-dope. And refuel and take the courage to stand. Keep standing. Don't throw in the towel. Keep working, fathers. Keep working, mothers. Keep working, young adults. Keep working. Stand. And when the world tells you you don't have to do it, you need to say, I'm standing. I've had people tell me before, just give up, Alan. Just give up. Anybody ever said that to you? How about, you'll never make it? Anybody ever said that to you? You don't have what it takes? Has anybody ever said that to you? Well, all those people were not prophets. Because everything they said I couldn't do, I did. You see, God through Jesus Christ will give us that undergirding power to keep us standing through the storm, not just after it. You catch that? He'll give us that power to stand in the midst of the storm, not just after it. Because you don't need it after the storm, you need it in the storm. So if you're in a storm right now, this is the time you really, really need to call on Jesus and ask Him to undergird you and to strengthen you. The Bible says in Matthew 7, verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, I'm talking about undergirding power now, foundational truth. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. What's the key there, Floyd? Puts them into practice. Action. It's not just hearing the word. It's doing the word. So I've been listening to Bishop preach for now on to 40 years now. Yeah, and what have you done with it? Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. It's not hearing the word, it is now living it out. It's action. It's doing it. And then people come to me and say, Bishop, I don't understand. I've listened to you preach, and I have, and I tried to give every now and then. I don't understand why I'm not blessed. Think about it for a second. You're not doing nothing. You know how hard, can I just take a sidestep here? You know how hard it is being a pastor of a church like this and watch the crowd start to change and then trying to find workers and nobody wants to work? Everybody got real quiet right then. Nobody wants to work. Nobody wants to do anything. Do you think God is pleased with that? Come on, talk back to me. You think God is pleased with that? Would you be pleased? No, you wouldn't. The body of Christ needs a mindset change. The body of Christ needs to change some things, and I'm going to make it happen. In the next few years of my life, I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm going to come out guns a-blazing. And we're going to come out with truth. And if people don't want the truth, they don't need to come hear me. Because truth is what's going to set us free. It's going to set us free. And everyone that puts the words into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, streams rose up, the winds blew, beat against that house. Yet, come on, help me, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Question. The rain came down, the streams rose up, the winds blew, it didn't fall. Let me ask this. How's your foundation? Let's go on with this. You don't have to answer right now. It had its foundation on the rock. You see, life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. I'm waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to stand in it. Because storms are going to come, brother. I don't care who you are. You can take drugs and try to numb yourself or drink and numb yourself. Has anybody ever tried that before? Don't raise your hand all at one time. Numb it with relationships and all that, and you'll find out it don't go away. Matter of fact, it starts getting worse. It starts getting worse. So I'm not going to try to wait for the storm to pass. I'm going to learn through the Spirit to stand in the middle of it, just like Jesus did in the storm, and speak to it, peace be still. Let me give you a key, something to chew on. The foundation, the undergirding power, the foundation matters more than the forecast. The foundation matters more than the forecast, because people are forecasting a lot, but it's the foundation that's important. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. My hope is built in nothing less but Jesus Christ and His righteousness. So let me ask you, in this life, what is your life built on? Let's go through some points. What is your life built on? You need to answer these questions for yourself. If it's approval, it will fail. If it's popularity, it will fail. That's proven. Popularity, you see all these stars, they're popular for a season, and then guess what? You don't even remember them. They're gone. Approval, popularity, is your life built on performance? I have to perform. Well, I want to say, all those things will be shaken. The wind will come, the storm will come, and it was going to take a fall. It will fall if it's built on those things. The only thing that will keep it standing is Jesus Christ on the solid rock. Because it will hold. That anchor holds. That foundation holds. That superstructure and foundation will hold. It will not fail you. God will not fail. I wrote that song years ago. God won't fail you. And He's never failed me yet. Now, let me say this. I failed me. Whenever I want to see who made me fail, I go to the mirror and look at myself. A fellow I was with this week, he said, He hadn't seen me in 3 years. He said, "Man, Alan, you look old." I said, "Excuse me." He's in the car with me. I said, "Pull that mirror down there on your side." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Pull the mirror down." So he pulled it down. I said, "Now look at yourself real close." "I look pretty good." I said, "No, you're the same age I am. You look old. We've got a right to look old because we're old." "Why do you walk so funny?" "Because I've been walking for almost a century. You get tired." So when you think when you're standing and you feel like you're failing because you've done all to stand, you may feel like you're not doing enough. "I'm not doing enough." You may feel overlooked while holding everything together. Fathers and mothers. Overlooked, but you're holding it together. You're keeping it together. You may feel unseen. You may feel unseen for standing up for what's right. But keep standing. People may think you're weird, but keep standing. Why would I do that? Galatians 6:9. "Let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up." It's all contingent upon not giving up. So, "Well, Bishop, are you giving up?" "No, I'm not giving up. I'm going up." And you learn to grow up, especially when the Holy Spirit says to do something, you better listen to Him. We should have done what we're doing right now. We should have done it a year ago. But there again, I listened to me talk. Finally, one day, the Lord got my attention. And I said, "No problem, God. I have no problem. It's your business anyway. I'll do it exactly the way you want it." And so, "What if the people don't like it?" "I don't care." "Does God want it?" "Then God doesn't care if you like it or not." How many people understand that? You say, "Well, God, I don't like you." He don't care. "I don't like what you're saying." He don't care, Ricky. He's not offended. He's just God. He's going to do exactly what He wants to do, when He wants to do it, and how He wants to do it. And it doesn't care if you like it or not. I had to come to that opinion, that knowledge, that God didn't really care what I thought. He loves me. But He loves me enough to know the end from the beginning. He already knows what's going to happen. So He set me up for victory. And the biggest problem I got, or the greatest problem I have, is the man in the mirror. The man in the mirror. Has anybody else had that problem with that person? You notice not too many people, they're like, "Not me, Bishop, I'm perfect. I'm perfect in all my ways." So was the devil. You see, just because no one sees you in your grief, in your pain, in your hurt, no one sees you standing does not mean it's not significant. Nobody applauds you for standing. But you say it's not significant. It is significant. Why? What do you say that for? Well, let me ask you this. A tree, when it grows down before it grows up. The root system is far greater on the bottom than what you see on the top. Oak trees, man, their structure is incredible. You may not see it, but their ability to stand is because they're rooted properly. They're grounded properly. Well, who else do you know, Bishop, that did something like this? Well, I'll tell you if you want to ask me. Brother Job. Job lost everything. Satan said to God in the council room of heaven, he said, "Does Job serve God for nothing?" The Bible says for naught. Nothing. Does he serve God for nothing? And God says, "Let me show you." He said, do anything you want to do to him, but do not take his life. Everything went wrong with Job. Talk about a storm. He lost everything except his wife. You can't get rid of a bad woman. I mean, everything. I thought that's comical because everything else was taken, but not that woman. She's in there saying to Job, curse God and die. Thank you, honey. I needed that encouragement. But Job lost everything, but he didn't lose his praise. So in the midst of all that, he still had the ability to praise. Joseph, don't have time to tell the whole story about Joseph, but Joseph was forgotten and thrown into prison. Think about it for a second. He has a great dream, but he's thrown into prison. But he stood in purpose. He still stood in purpose. He still stood, standing, standing, standing until one day he was second only to Pharaoh. Mary, the mother of Jesus, against all odds, she bears the Messiah. Being ridiculed by her brethren. Could have been stoned to death. But against all odds, she stood and she had the Messiah. Jesus. You remember him? Jesus was crushed in Gethsemane. Matter of fact, so much so that the Bible says his sweat became as great drops of blood. Blood was coming out of his pores because of the anguish and anxiety. But he still stood in victory. Jesus, in the garden, such an amazing thing when you really think about Jesus and what he said in that garden. He said, Father, he's praying his famous prayer, and I think it's in John 17. He said, Father, he's praying this prayer of, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. This is just a side note here. He said, but I am no longer in this world. Read it and see for yourself. He's still in the garden. God, I am no longer, he's standing. I am no longer in this world. How could he say that? Because it already had been, everything that was going to happen had already been written. It had already been done in the heavenlies. So he says, I'm no longer in this world. I've already accomplished. Everything has been accomplished. Sometimes you need to say, I'm no longer in this world. I'm going to follow the purpose of God. I'm going to follow the plan of God. So what is an insight? What insight can I have? God doesn't just deliver you from the fire. He develops you in the fire. Steel that is forged in the fire is stronger. So what now? I'm not going to preach too much longer. What now? What now? The answer is stand. Stand. Everybody's laughing at you. People are mocking you. They see you praying. Why are you praying? They see you giving. Why are you giving? Why do you go to church all the time? You really don't need to do that. They don't understand our strength comes in coming together, hearing the Word of God. That's where our strength is. When you don't know what to do next, I'm going to tell you what to do. Stand. And I've had to live that out in the last few years. Didn't know what to do, didn't know how to do it. I said, you know what? All I can do is stand. I have to stand. When you don't see fruit in your life, you think you should see, Floyd, you have to stand. When the doctor says you can't get well, you have to stand. When you lose your job, you better stand and stand in faith. When everything you thought would happen is not happening, you still need to stand. What did we do here at the church? I stood. I stand. I'm standing in purpose. So because of that, God says, now let me show you the way to do this. Let me show you how to work this out. There's a lot of things you can fault me on. You can say, Alan, you're this, you're that, but you'll never fault. I will not accept that I don't hear from God. Because when I hear from Him, I move on that. And I do it quickly. I don't second guess God. I just do it. And every time I just do it, God brings blessing. He brings benefit. So when you don't know what to do, stand. When you don't see fruit in your life like you think you should see, go ahead and stand. When you're tempted to quit, I'm ready to throw in the towel, do like Muhammad Ali. Stand, refuel, and knock George out. Who's George? The enemy. And a lot of times George is looking at you in the mirror. You know, people don't realize this, but there's a difference in being a Christian and being a disciple. And I'm not going to preach that long here because that's not really the sermon. But there's a big difference in being a Christian. I'm a Christian. And being a disciple, big difference. Because a lot of the things Jesus spoke when he was speaking, they write about, he wasn't speaking to the crowd. He was speaking to his disciples. When he said, all power is given me in heaven and earth, and he gave it to them, who did he give it to? The disciples. He didn't give it to the larger body of Christians. Now that's your free part. And you read it all you want to, but that's exactly what happened. Why? Because disciples carry a different weight. Disciples truly desire to be like the Master. Big difference. When you've done all you know to do, you're going to have to stand. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain. Stand. You may not feel like a hero, fathers. You may not feel like it anymore, but if you're still standing, you're still leading. For those ladies in the church, understand, you're holding up more than a household. You're holding up a generation. Keep standing. That's why I said what I did about the baby. You have to keep standing. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. Standing up for your faith in this world makes you brave, not weird. Boy, he's weird. He's weird. We were praying over our food the other night. The restaurant was packed out with this pastor. And when we bowed our heads to pray, I could tell people, like, what are they doing? That's so strange. What are they doing? I want to stand up and say, y'all, I'm praying that this food don't kill me. People don't understand prayer anymore. They don't understand Thanksgiving anymore. They don't understand commitment, loyalty. Matter of fact, I'm teaching you on standing, but most people can't stand in commitment. They can't stand in loyalty. They can't stand in servanthood. I told Randy backstage, I said, servanthood is one of the great, most powerful things in the body of Christ. Right. Servanthood. Everybody wants to stand behind a pulpit, but in order to stand behind a pulpit, at some point in your life, you had better be a servant. Amen. I remember the days when I'd come in, I was the sound man. I was the technician. I did it all. Finally, one day I said, you know, this is crazy. Isn't there anybody in the body that can do something? Everybody wants to come in and praise, but nobody wants to raise. Can you tell that? I said to the pastor, he's walking along with me. I said, I'm upset. He said, what are you upset about? I'm upset with the body of Christ. He said, well, I don't understand that. Define that. I said, do I have to define it for you? I said, look at the leadership. Look what they're doing. Look how they're doing it. I'm not pleased. Well, why are you not pleased? Because the Lord's not pleased with them. Do y'all really believe that the Lord is pleased with the way churches, assemblies, let's call it assemblies, are dwindling? You think God's up in heaven going, yay? No, he's not happy. In studying this one near-death experience where someone actually died for 10 minutes or 15 minutes, they faced heaven. Now, whether you believe it or not, you need to research it. It's real. And they said that when the Lord spoke to them, he said, I'm very concerned. My people have forgotten me. The world no longer recognizes me, and yet I created everything. That's sad. That's sad. So I'm going to stand no matter what people think. I'll pray if I want to pray when I want to pray. Matter of fact, I was telling Denise, I'm sitting with this man, and I heard a man walk up. He was talking. He said, well, I don't have much to lose. He said, I said, what are you talking about? I spoke to him on the other table. So what do you mean? He said, well, I've got fourth stage cancer, fourth stage something. He's dying. He said, so I'm going to be dead soon anyway. And I said, sir, do you not have faith? And my friend, which was sitting closer to him, said, and everybody's watching. He said, let's pray right now. And he took the man's hand and prayed. It wasn't in church. Matter of fact, there's people around drinking, carrying on. He grabbed his hand and he bowed his head and he said, thank you so very much. And I said, my last words to him, I said, brother, keep the faith. That's one of my famous statements. Keep the faith and faith will keep you. Keep the faith. See, that's what the world needs. Did you know that a sinner can be healed quicker than a Christian? Now, I'm going to let y'all think about that. You say, no, I'm a child of God. Well, I'll explain to you why someday, why that happens. Why that happens. Because you see, the sinner has no faith. So it operates off my faith. But the Christian, Jesus said, according to your faith. Big difference. Now we're working on your faith, and you better have faith. Did y'all catch that? That's the free part today. I'm trying to give you some things that I think on all the time. And that's not just me. There's other pastors. I know because I've prayed for thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. Brother Randy's been with me sometimes and others said, what did you think about praying for that person? I said, they're not going to be healed because they had no faith. Especially when you ask them, do you believe God's going to heal you? Well, I hope so. There ain't no hope to it. So I'm going to be healed. By his stripes, I'm whole. We're healed. See, that's just the way I feel. If you feel alone today, don't be alone. Even when you feel like you're alone and no one sees you, here's the good news. God does. God does. And as a matter of fact, he's proud that you're still standing. Having done all to stand. Let today be a day, right here at East West Church, next Sunday's our last Sunday here. We need to draw a line in the sand. Just in your mind, draw a line in the sand. Not where you quit, but where you stood and you didn't give up. I didn't give up, but I stood up. I got up again. And I got up again. And I got up again. You can't make it. I got up again. Knock you out. I'll get up again. Why? Because that's the admonition. When you've done all to stand, stand therefore. So we may have been knocked down, but we're knocked out. We're not knocked out. We're still standing. East West Church, we're still standing. Amen. On this Father's Day, we're still standing. So here's what I pray. God, thank you for being the strength behind our stance. Thank you that when we feel like giving up, you lift us up. Lord, help every father and mother and young person and saint in this room to keep standing. Standing in love, standing in truth, standing in faith, standing in courage. When you've done all to stand, stand in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.